We're doing Parashat Ki Teitze. We said we would go through the Psukim, which we said if Rav Salvechik were giving this shiur, this would be a precursor to Bichlal starting the Masechet. Now we had read, Ki Yiyeriv Bein Anashim, we assume Ki to mean when it will happen, when there will be a Riv. So we quoted that our first encounter with the word Riv is between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot, where it seems like one side is wrong. So Ki Yeriv, the Unklos translates it as when there will be a din, when there will be a court case. Bein Anashim, between men, sounds like men of stature. V'nigeshu el ha-mishpat u'shvatum, they will nigeshu. We'll assume that means they will approach, like Vayigash elav Yehuda. They will approach el ha-mishpat. What is the mishpat? El ha-mishpat. So we will assume mishpat means either the judges or the justice system. And then the question is, why are these words in the pasuk altogether? Ushfatum, and they will judge them, which often means by force. The addition of ushfatum sounds like a forced judgment. Is this a commandment on the people or the judges? V'nigeshu l'mishpat, is that a mitzvah to two people who have a fight? We don't know if the fight is about monetary matters. We don't know if the fight is about religious matters. V'hitzdiku et hatzadik, and they will make the righteous one righteous. So it seems like we shifted from the people being the subject of the sentence to the judges. Ushfatum, the judges will judge them. V'yitzdiku et hatzadik. They will vindicate the righteous one. They will show the righteousness of the righteous one. Whenever two people have a quarrel over money, that has to be that one of them is righteous. V'yirshiyu et harasha. And they will show the iniquity of the wicked one. Every time there's a fight, there has to be a rasha. So this pasuk needs work. The Targum translates, V'chayvun yad chayavah. They will implicate the one who deserves to be implicated. Okay, it still sounds like there's has to be a rasha here. Vaya. That's another interesting word. Im bin hakot harasha. I don't remember another place that it says bin in Torah. Yoshua bin Nun. Okay. Okay, so you have a bin over there. Over there it's translated as ben. V'haya im bin hakot harasha. So over here also, Targum translates it as bar. If the wicked one is worthy of getting lashes, is worthy of getting beaten, right? Bin hakot, worthy of getting beaten, which Targum translates as lashes. Le alka'a, ya malkus. If he is worthy of getting lashes, what does that mean? Does that mean he's strong enough? Does that mean his acts are worthy of lashes? V'hipilo ha-shofet, the judge will, la'pil, we assume, means to throw down. V'ikau lefanav, and he will hit him in front of him. In front of whom? In front of the judge, in front of, it would seem like the judge has to be focused. He can't hit him as something on the way. He's sipping his tea and he gives him a lash. He's reading the news and he gives him a lash. V'ikau lefanav. When he hits him, he has to be focused on him, in front of him. Kidei rishato b'mispar. In accordance with his wickedness, in an exact number. The word bimispar goes back to kidei rishato, in accordance with his wickedness. It's saying, don't hit him to death, hit him only as much as his wickedness deserves. But the word kedei rishato could also go back on bina kota rasha. If the wicked one is worthy of getting lashes, kedei rishato, to the extent of his wickedness. We don't know if this modifier is going on vihikahu, he should hit him, kedei rishato v'mispal, or it's bina kota rasha, kedei rishato v'mispal. Is it a modifier on the end of the pasuk or the beginning of the pasuk? And in Hebrew we have that. We have modifiers that go back on the beginning of the pasuk, right? Leman yirbu yimeichem v'imei v'neichem ala adama shenishba Hashem latet l'avotichem ki mea shemayim ala aretz. Ki mea shemayim ala aretz goes back on yirbu yimeichem, not on nishba Hashem, right? The end of the pasuk says nishba Hashem l'avotichem latet lahem ki mea shemayim ala aretz. Kimei Shemayim al Haaretz goes on latet lehem, nishba l'avotechem, or on the very beginning of the pasuk, leman yirbu yimeichem. So we have modifiers in Hebrew that go back to the beginning of the sentence. So again here in kedei rishato b'mispar, we have to wonder what's the directive here. Arba'im yakenu lo yosif. Hit him 40 lashes, and don't add. Wait, I thought it said in accordance with his wickedness. That would sound like if he did something really bad, he'll get many lashes. If he did something less bad, he'll get less lashes. Here, the pasuk suddenly gives me a number. So then what does that mean? Kedei rishato b'mispar.
It's to... Right? So could it go down?
Oh, you could add. Don't add. But maybe you can detract. Okay. So you're saying the pasuk seems to give the upper parameter, but it's not saying everyone has to get 40 lashes. Okay, that's a pshat.
You could also say that kedei rishasai is going back on in bin hakos, you suggested.
Yeah, and then.
And then the misbar isn't talking about kedei rishasai. The misbar is it has to be an exact number. What's the exact number? I'm going to tell you, it's 40. It's not an exact number according to his wickedness.
So then what is according to his wickedness mean?
It means if he's bin hakos according to his wickedness, meaning if according to his wickedness we determine that he's deserving of hakos, then you'll hit him bimisbar. What is that misbar? We'll tell you in a minute. It's 40.
Okay, so you're connecting to the bimisbar to the next pasuk. Okay. Arba'im yakenu, and this certainly sounds like the judge is the one doing the hitting. Lo yosif, mitzvah d'oraisa, don't add. Can't hit him more than 40. Pen yosif, another mitzvah d'oraisa, right? Hishamer pen and al, are a lo saseh. Pen yosif, lest he add. Lehakoto al eile makaraba. Oh boy, why do we have all these words here? To hit him on these, a large or a massive hitting, what did I gain from these words? The word pen yosif already told me that. And over here it sounds like the lashes you give him initially are not makaraba. They're not an awesome beating. So
saying that he's like going to get going and get carried away.
Right? If you hit him more than these and you end up hitting him a severe blow, v'nikla achicha leinecha, and your brother, now he's called my brother again, until now he was harasha, now suddenly he becomes my brother. V'nikla achicha leinecha, and your brother will be shamed. That's what it would seem like. We have the word kalon. But the Targum doesn't translate it as kalon. He doesn't translate it as he will be shamed. I would have thought it means could be he loses control of his bowels. That's v'nikla achicha leinecha. People under pain can have that happen to them. Chazal say no. V'nikla achicha, says the Targum, yeikal achuch. Your brother will be light in your eyes. And le'enecha is the stress here, in your eyes. Chazal darshan, the word nikla, the way I said earlier. Chazal darshan, that if in the process of getting lashes, if he loses control of his bowels, you stop hitting him. He's undergone enough shame. So Chazal do darshan, the word nikla, as meaning shame. The word shame has many meanings and has many words in Hebrew, and they mean different things. There's busha, there's kalon, there's cherpa. So the pasuk's telling us that after a person gets lashes, we should view him as a brother. And don't muzzle an ox as it is threshing. And then we have the end of the parsha. New parsha, ki yeshvu achim, etc. So what's the connection to lo tachsom shor bedisho? So Chazal tell us that the connection is that lo tachsom shor bedisho is going to illuminate when you give lashes. And it's going to be a binyanav. We're going to say anything that's similar to lo tachsom shor bedisho gets lashes. So this is going to be our source for giving makos for every lav sheyesh bo maisa, etc. So this idea of bina kot harasha, Chazal understood to mean, when is he worthy of makot? Lo tachsom shor bedisho. If he transgresses the prohibition of muzzling an ox as it is threshing.
The Rav just said something a maaseh now. Now remember that was a big topic in the Gemara before. Whether or not they did a maaseh or...
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
a good
Rav
point.
Get this whole maaseh thing here?
We'll see. The Gemara is going to darshan it from lo tachsom shor bedisho. So this is the prototype. This is the av.
Okay.
Lo tachsom shor bedisho. Okay. So
it's strange though, because that's not the case that Im Bin Hakos is talking about. Clearly, there's no Russian
right.
Tzaddik.
Right. Right. Right? It's not the way we would have understood the pasuk, agreed. Right?
I mean, not at the beginning of the pasuk at least. Maybe Im Bin Hakos, but not Riv Ben Anashim.
Agreed. Agreed. So, this needs a lot of work. The classical case of Makos sounds like something different than a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa, the end of the pasuk, the end of the parasha, is speaking about something that sounds like bin adam lamakom. You're not hurting your neighbor when you're muzzling the ox. You're hurting the ox. And from here we're going to learn to all forms of lashes. Whereas the beginning, like Usher pointed out, is talking about a din between two people. Now the Gemara is going to darshan this to Edom Zomimin. And now it sounds like we have a different answer as to why Maseches Makos begins with the story of Edom Zomimim. The Gemara initially asked, why is this the opening case of our Mishnah? The Gemara said, we're coming off of what we discussed in Sanhedrin. The idea of Edom Zomimim, Zomimim Bas Kohen. You could have Edom Zomimim that gets something different than what they plotted. The way the Gemara is going to interpret now, that the story of goes on Edom Zomimin, so then that's another understanding as to why the Mishnah would open with Edom Zomimin. If that's the prototype, that's a classical case of Makos. Now let's go back to our Gemara. Thank you. Gemara said, we're holding seven lines from where the lines get wide. Ela remez leidim zomimin shelokin min haTorah minayin. Where do we have a remez? We'll assume the word remez means an allusion, not a derivation. Where do we have an allusion to this idea that Edom Zomimin get lashes from the Torah? So that sounds like this is not the source. It's an allusion. So then we would ask, okay, if this pasuk doesn't teach it, but rather alludes to it, then what is the pasuk teaching? Meaning, where's the pshat here? What's the derivation from the tzedikut tzedik v'yoshu tarasha? So we'll leave that hanging from now. Dichtiv v'tzedikut tzedik v'yoshu tarasha v'ayayim binakot tarasha. The pasuk says, show the righteous one is righteous, the wicked one is wicked. And if the wicked one deserves lashes, then give it to him. Mishum v'tzedikut tzedik v'yoshu tarasha v'ayayim binakot tarasha. Is the Torah telling me just because you found one to be tell it to be righteous, and the other one comes out to be found guilty, so then you have to give the one who's found guilty lashes? What's going on here? Anytime Beis Din will find one person doesn't owe any money, and the other person does owe money, so that you'll give the one who does owe money lashes? That's what the pasuk seems to say. So the Gemara says, Ela, but rather you have to say the pasuk is talking about something else. The pasuk is talking about a scenario where when the court case began, you thought the tzaddik was the Rasha and the Rasha was the tzaddik. At the onset of the court case, Edim shirshu ta tzaddik, the witnesses walked in and they caused you to think that the righteous one was really wicked. And then a second set of witnesses come in, and they revealed to you that all along, Mr. So-and-so was a tzaddik. And they also revealed that the set of witnesses that implicated him, they're the wicked ones. Then if those wicked witnesses deserve lashes, then give it to them. That's how the Gemara is understanding it. That if the second set of witnesses reveal that the man v'itzdikut tzaddik, so then if v'irshu tarasha, if they show you that the first set of witnesses are really wicked people, so then if they deserve lashes, give it to them. So from here, the Gemara says, we would say, what constitutes a case that they're worthy of lashes? Those are the cases of our Mishnah, where the Edom Zomimin cannot receive Kasher Zamam. Now that's a leap. How'd you get there? V'itzdiku that tzaddik is talking about one of the two people in the court case. V'irshut HaRasha suddenly is talking about one of the set of witnesses. How does that work? I will ask another question. If witnesses testify that Reuven is Chayev to Shimon, are they part of the case? We would assume the witnesses are impartial. They're just giving over facts. They're revealing what happened. From here, it would seem, if they're supposed to mirror the defendant, then it sounds like they have a hand in being the accuser. And we will see, Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow, remind me, we'll start with that seems to have support in the Torah. And Psukim, Mamash Psukim, that witnesses seem to have a personal... We treat it as though they're personally involved. As foreign as that sounds, we'll have to pick up with that. Is that Chintamar?